What is up, everybody? Welcome into Locked On Kings. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. I'm a radio host at Sports 1140 KHTK. Also work on every Kings broadcast with the radio crew. Got another good one for you today. We interviewed Sam Amick today on the Lowdown. I'm actually recording this Wednesday evening. You'll be hearing this Thursday. So on Wednesday after the Kawhi trade, Sam was kind enough to join us from his vacation to give us his thoughts on that. We also touched on some Kings news as well. Potential free agent signing finally. Well, finally maybe coming for the Kings. All that coming up next here on Locked On Kings on the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily podcast on the Sacramento Kings.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is up, everybody? Welcome into Locked On Kings. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. Pretty interesting day in the NBA, kind of wild. As I said, this is Wednesday evening. You will be hearing this Thursday, so I'll try and record it as if I'm speaking on Thursday, but if not, sorry, I'm an idiot anyway. So, the Kawhi Leonard trade. Kawhi gets moved, finally, to the Toronto Raptors for DeMar DeRozan, Jakob Poeltl, and a 2019 protected first-round pick. Protected 1 through 20, which is solid. That will be conveyed this year. That will definitely go through this year. Spurs will get that pick, and they have, you know, solid track record of using late first-round picks and finding good players. So I would expect them to. I'm good with it. Danny Green was also part of the trade. He's also going to Toronto. As I mentioned, we're going to play an interview we did with Sam Amick. Damian Barling and myself did with Sam Amick today on the Lowdown, as I've been filling in on the Lowdown all week for Jason Ross, the legend. Also, I have to give Damian a shout-out and give him major credit because he had this before anyone. He said it's Toronto. He's going to Toronto from what he heard. So shout-out D-Lo. He had the intel and was right. So, yeah, Kawhi's a Raptor. As far as the trade goes, I'm good with it. I'm good with it on both sides. Look, we all know the risk of trading for Kawhi, no matter who you are, even if you're the Lakers. Now, if you're the Lakers and you believe that he will definitely re-sign with you and stick around, yeah, you absolutely do that. But they didn't want to give up what they had to give up. I don't know if they're confident that he'll be there in this next offseason. Maybe, maybe not. I mentioned the other day, I'm intrigued by this Spurs roster. Tons of wing depth, tons of backcourt depth. I mean, they did lose Danny Green, who was part of my intrigue, but they still have DeJounte Murray, great defender. Derek White, second-year player, I believe. Second year, out of Colorado. Lonnie Walker, who they drafted this year, another first-rounder who has looked good. I mean, I know we haven't seen him play anything close to an NBA game yet, but I'm intrigued by him. Bryn Forbes, Manu's still there, Patty Mills. Front court, they have Rudy Gay, LaMarcus Aldridge still. And look, I understand he's a flawed player, but he's still a damn good player, LaMarcus is. Pau Gasol, Jakob Poeltl now, who I like. I think Poeltl could be he could either start for them, solid third big, however you want to look at it. He's solid. I like Poeltl. He's 22 years old. Potentially could be the best center they've had since Tim Duncan, which would be great. Because, I mean, not that he'll be anywhere near Tim Duncan, obviously, but he's a good player. I thought that was a solid pickup in the trade. If I was the Spurs, I really would have tried to get OG Anunoby from Toronto. And who says they didn't? And Toronto just said no. And then as far as Toronto goes, look, it's another solid move. They were an incredibly deep team and still are. They get Kawhi for a year, Danny Green for a year at least. And yes, the risk is obvious, but I appreciate them taking the risk. You'll hear me talk about it in this interview next, but they would never be able to get a meeting with Kawhi in free agency. if they say, you know what, we'll try and get a meeting with him in 2019 free agency. See how that works. Not going to happen. Similar to what OKC did when they traded for Paul George. It wasn't just about getting Paul George the player. It was about, we got Paul George and we're going to spend this year pitching him on sticking with OKC. And it's a very specific reference, a very specific instance that it worked, but I appreciate Toronto going for it because, look, I like DeMar. He's a good player, but kind of ran its course in Toronto with DeMar and Kyle Lowry. And, you know, I know some players are upset about DeMar being traded. They'll get over it pretty quick. They'll get over it pretty quick, for sure. It's still a deep team. DeLon Wright's still there. Fred VanVleet, Norman Powell. Pascal Siakam is one hell of a player. Valanciunas. You throw in Kawhi. Throw in Danny Green, Kyle Lowry. I mean, that's a good squad. And in the East. That's one thing, and I know Kawhi didn't have any real say over this, but that's one thing that I would like personally if I was Kawhi, that I'm in the East and I really have a shot to go to the finals. And it might be Masai Ujiri just taking a shot, his Hail Mary, trying to get to the finals. And because if it's not the finals, at the very least the conference finals, he's probably gone. But I also think it's a risk worth taking because, again, they didn't, you know, look, DeMar's really good. Portal has potential, but that's two players. That's it. They didn't give up the boat to try and get him. You know, they didn't have to give up five or six rotational guys to try and get him. Anyways, those are my opinions. You're going to hear some more of them in this next interview, and then I'm going to come back, talk a little about the Kings and some of the news that came out about them today, and a little Locked On Kings news. So all that's coming up next here on Locked On Kings on the Locked On Podcast Network.
Happy to bring in Sam Amick. Sam, I hope you're on vacation, man. I'm so sorry to steal you away from your family.
All good, guys. No worries. It's the NBA, 12 months a year. I'm used to it by now.
Sam Amick of USA Today with us, as he is each week here on The Lowdown. Sam, when did you get wind that Kawhi Leonard to Toronto might be a possibility?
Damien, as far as it being a possibility, I'd probably hit the rewind button and go back to when I saw you out at Summer League in Vegas, and I think it's harmless enough to share since it's all kind of in the past now, but there's a guy, I guess I'll just describe as like a Kawhi Leonard kind of source who knew a lot about him, kind of a former associate of his, who had put the bug in my ear that, you know, while a lot of NBA teams were picking his brain about Kawhi and trying to get as much intel as possible, that Toronto in particular was really curious, asking a lot of questions, trying to get clarity on his health front, clarity on his kind of mentality front. So it was funny because I thought it was interesting and kind of logged it away, put it in the back pocket, and I didn't do a lot with it. And then two things jumped out at me. When I went back home, I saw the headlines about how the Vegas odds makers had been putting Toronto at the top of the list in terms of teams that would have the best chances of getting Kawhi. And then also a friend and colleague, Zach Lowe at ESPN, had kind of dropped it on one of his podcasts that he thought that if he had to pick a team, and this is like, you know, right in the thick of the middle of Summer League, that it would be Toronto. So the rumblings were there, but the way it broke was funny. I mean, I was sawing logs out here in South Lake Tahoe and woke up to a bunch of tweets and texts. So it was kind of a dark of night type of deal.
Was there any, or how do I phrase this? What team, I guess, finished in second? And was it a close second, or was it pretty much Toronto and that's it?
I don't have clarity on that, Chuck. Mm-hmm. You know, I know having sat down with the Sixers brass in Vegas, the sense that I got from them was that, you know, they felt really good about their program. And, you know, they were kind of, I thought, negotiating through the media a little bit. And to paint the picture for you, they invited, kind of unsolicited, they invited six different reporters, four beat writers, and two national people to a roundtable with Josh Harris, one of their owners, and Brett Brown, obviously head coach and the guy who's been heading up their front office. And they, you know, they talked up certain young prospects, and I felt like they were trying to get the Spurs to bite on some of the pieces that the Spurs didn't appear to have a lot of interest in. But they also were sending the message that we have no, you know, incentive to be desperate here because we have a good thing going. Mm-hmm. So Philly seemed to be very measured I think Boston was very measured. The Lakers were very measured. So I think Toronto was the team that quietly was clearly desperate and quietly felt like if they just rolled the ball back out again, that Masai Ujiri, you know, their the head of their front office, wasn't feeling good about what it, you know, what they were going to be. I don't know if I agree with him, but this is a calculated risk and a pretty interesting move.
I also speculated maybe it's Masai looking at it like, I've got to throw a Hail Mary here because if I don't, perhaps my time in Toronto is also done.
That's fair. I mean, what's funny, Damian, is if you really break it down and tell me what I'm forgetting here. I don't know that Masai, other than drafting well, you know, and picking up Serge Ibaka and pieces like that, I mean, what is Masai's transcendent move since he came to town? Because the truth is when, and I think the world of him as an executive, and I actually give him a lot of credit for not being so in love with the own reflection in the mirror of himself that he felt the need to have change for the sake of change when he first came on board after coming over from Denver, because he came on and we really assumed incorrectly that he was going to shake it up and he was going to put his stamp on this Raptors program, but they had things going in the right direction. And so, you know, he held on to DeMar and Kyle, and they kept growing. So I do think that he's been patient. It's just that, the timing is obviously tough. Yes, they got waxed by Cleveland, and that was the optics were terrible in the playoffs. But if you're DeMar, you're still sitting there going, okay, well, we also are coming off a franchise record 59 wins, and that guy who's been in front of us every single year, LeBron, is now on the other side of the NBA in the West playing for the Lakers. So I think that's why you have some of the angst with this trade.
Toronto loses to Cleveland 4-2 instead of 4-0. Are we here?
Probably. I don't know. Probably not. I think that it's that feeling, not to be the funny analogy, but like if you know, like that to me is the kind of outcome that Masai and his soul and his heart, in terms of where he was at in the relationship with this core. He obviously knew it was hollow and he didn't want to keep going forward. Now it's super tricky because Kyle Lowry is like DeMar's best friend. And now I think the optics and the reaction are bad for the Raptors because, and I'm going to probably continue reporting some of this stuff. You know, there's not a great look when you don't thank DeMar DeRozan in the press release. They did send out a tweet, but in terms of like, the player environment there, there's a lot of players who don't think very highly of the way the Raptors handled this. Masai, from DeMar's side, as the story goes, Masai in person told DeMar during summer league that he would not be traded. Mm. And now here we are today. Mm. So all that stuff is a lot to swallow. But no, if they don't get swept, if I had to handicap it, we're probably not here. I think to go from that franchise record, best chance – at getting to the finals in this entire era of this regime, and then to just kind of completely shoot an air ball the way they did, I think that certainly played a big part.
Sam, you mentioned Philly and L.A. and Boston were all pretty measured in their pursuit. In your opinion, do you agree with that, or are you kind of like me where I say if you have a chance to get Kawhi Leonard, you give up young pieces and you go get them? Do you think that's the right move for those teams, or do you think they should have been more aggressive?
I always try to be the type of critical thinker to put myself in the other person's shoes, right? Mm-hmm. So if I'm running these teams, I would have been very measured. I would have been intrigued, mm-hmm. But I would have been very measured, mainly because I don't know what I would have and this is pretty rare. I wouldn't know what I would have in Kawhi Leonard, the player, or Kawhi Leonard, the person. And I think that is Kawhi's problem right now. And I like Kawhi. I've dealt with him a pretty decent amount. And there's part of me just from a life standpoint that wishes somebody could get through to him and help him understand how he's hurting himself. Because to be at this stage of your career and have the NBA not have any idea who you are is not advantageous. Now I'm not saying you need to go out and create some sort of, disingenuous fake brand, but he's non-communicative with his, I was going to say employers. I don't even like that phrasing, but his partners mm-hmm. when it comes to the Spurs. He let his uncle, Dennis Robertson, do most of the talking for him. He fired his agent, Brian Elfa, so I thought did a good job. And his dealing of his own situation was derailed by a lot of that. So, you know, these teams don't have the ability to go to dinner or lunch with Kawhi and look him in the eye and say, this is a solid dude who I can feel confident is going to, you know, be the centerpiece of our franchise. And then on the other side, the stuff, I don't have the latest intel like the teams do on the medical side, but, you know, the bottom line is the guy played 9 games last year, and after being cleared medically by the Spurs, essentially halfway through the regular season, we didn't see him. You know, we saw him a little bit, and then he stopped playing again, and then didn't even think it was worth his time to show up in the playoffs and sit on the bench for the Spurs. So I would have had so many question marks that you know, I would have done something like Masai did, where the risk for Masai is there mainly because of the relationship stuff. Kawhi's a heck of a player, and if this thing doesn't work, you know, I think Masai probably was comfortable hitting the reset button next summer if Kawhi, in fact, walks away.
Sam Amick of USA Today, kind enough to join us on his vacation here on the Lowdown. Sam, you and Chuck brought up Philadelphia a few moments ago, and we had a conversation earlier about Philadelphia and how it seemed entering the offseason they were swinging for the fences. But so far they've walked away with nothing. Is there anything to read into that, whether it's from a free agent aspect or perhaps even a general manager aspect? Is there anything to read into the fact that they've walked away with nothing so far?
It's funny. Narratives change quickly. And so I'm with you now. You know, they've lost some pieces and, you know, seem to have taken a little bit of a step backward. It could have been a lot worse. I know they're ecstatic to have held on to J.J. Redick, and that's not a small deal, but I think their critics would say, come on, that was almost unofficially like a 2-year deal when J.J. signed on board last summer. You know, you get the big money last summer, and then you come back at a lower number the following year. But that's a big deal for them to hold on to him. And from there, when I saw them at Summer League, they were kind of doing an interesting kind of victory lap, because I know it sounds silly to think you would celebrate simply getting a meeting with a free agent, but, you know, it meant a lot to them that they were the only other team besides the Lakers to get an audience with LeBron James. And they felt like it sent a really strong message about their program. And I think born out of that is almost kind of this sense that, you know, it seemed to validate what they thought about the foundation they had already built and, you know, how they can grow this thing from the inside out. They're over the moon about Markelle Fultz, and we'll see if that's bluster and propaganda or if it's actually real, because to hear Brett Brown talk about Markelle is to think that he's going to have all of his, you know, physical and psychological stuff behind him, and you're going to get a guy who's the number one pick, almost consensus. You know, people kind of seem to forget that you know, this was not a swing and a miss on their part going for Markelle. Most teams were going to go that route. And so if, in fact, a guy like that can – show up and be part of the program and make an impact, that would be almost like a free agency signing. But I don't know what to make of, you know, what part the front office stuff played. It's a terrible look to come off of this Brian Colangelo saga where your wife is obviously, you know, speaking ill of players on burner accounts, and ultimately you got to replace the GM, and now they're out there looking for a new one. But, you know, all in all, I feel like they've kept their ship going pretty well.
Speaking of the Sixers and relating it to the Kings today, the Nemanja Bjelica story, and I know he's not a Kawhi-level story or anything, but it's pretty interesting. The guy had a deal with Philly, backs out, says he's going to play in Europe, and now there's reports that he's looking into a long-term deal with Sacramento. Do you have any insight on that as to what's going on? Is it just as simple as a guy who's indecisive, or is there anything going on behind the scenes there?
I wish I had some good stuff for you guys there. I'm going to play the Tahoe card and say I've not been chasing the Bjelica
good card
subplot today. Yeah, you know, I'm just being honest. I saw.
I love that Kawhi Leonard gets traded and Sam Amick, the national news reporter, has to state, yeah, I'm not really chasing the Bjelica story today, guys.
It's a fair question. I mean, we're always going to have 6 degrees of Sacramento.
Oh, yeah.
The Kawhi one, I mean, you know, that one was, I don't know what it is. I got to stop taking vacations in mid-July because you think that free agency is, I mean, when LeBron's telling the world where he's going on July 1, I'm thinking, okay, we're going to be good. But just like last summer when Kyrie Irving and his situation blew up in the middle of the summer, you know, this stuff happens. That's how the NBA has become an incredible entertainment product where they've got it going 12 months mm-hmm. a year. But I saw, you know, I know Yahoo Sports was reporting that Vlade had supposedly called Bjelica and kind of espouse the merits of staying in the NBA rather than going back to Europe. And they, who knows if they end up getting something done here. But that's about the extent of my insight on the B-Elites up front. Sorry, guys.
That's all right, Sam. We'll give you a pass on this one. I guess it's and then there was one, and that one is Carmelo Anthony. It feels like it's not a matter of if; it's just a matter of when. Is there a particular hang up with Carmelo Anthony getting out of Oklahoma City and most likely headed to Houston?
Not a lot of clarity there either. I mean, it does definitely seem like it's Houston, and. You know, I don't quite understand the advantages for the Thunder, and you know, I feel like stretching Melo's contract, just kind of taking your beating financially, but having it stretch out over a number of years, and then getting to part ways with him, and ultimately saving about $100 million once you factor in tax payments. You know, that's the way to go. But they obviously, Sam Presti, their GM, has got other scenarios on the table, trade-wise, that he's still considering. Otherwise, I got to assume this thing would already be done. So we'll see what happens there. I mean, there's a longer conversation to be had about the weird Rockets offseason and the question of whether or not getting Melo even helps them. I mean, I think it helps them marginally at best, and I definitely think they've taken a step backwards once you talk about losing Trevor Ariza, losing Luka Bamute. Melo's not out there guarding people 94 feet like those other two guys. So, you know, I think that's more a case of a little bit of offensive firepower and getting Melo next to his buddy Chris Paul and seeing if he could help.
I was going to ask you about Ben McLemore, but we'll just move on. We'll leave that.
The reunion.
Yeah, let's let Sam go back on vacation, man. I really had no intention of yanking you from Tahoe, man, but when the Kawhi Leonard story came across this morning, I knew we had to get you for a few minutes. Sam, you know we appreciate you.
All good, boys. Listen, I wrote a column, which was not in the plans either, so shameless plug. You know, go give that a click and let me know if you agree or don't, but part of the job. All good, boys. Thank you.
Enjoy the rest of your vacation. That is our buddy Sam Mamick live from Lake Tahoe.
Welcome back to Locked On Kings. I'm your host, Charles D. Hamilton. Major shout out to Sam Mamick for joining us on the lowdown earlier today, even though he was on vacation in Tahoe. It never stops. So thank you to him and for the info. And I mean, there you go. Look, Kawhi's a Raptor. The pitch starts right now. How do we keep him? Because it's not about the money. He'll get the money wherever he goes. It's about the team, the city somewhat. And it depends on what you believe as far as the fame and the things he wants. If he wants that stuff, start promoting him. You know, give him everything he wants, basically. And that's kind of where I was at with the Spurs. They do things the Spurs way or whatever. But if they had treated Kawhi like a superstar, maybe they could have handled some of this a little better. But who knows? I mean, that's all I got. Look, I can't wait for the season to start. I can't wait. I can't wait to see these teams. I'm going to be really interested and intrigued by both. If I was the Lakers, I would have given the Spurs whatever they wanted. Or if I was the Sixers or Celtics or whoever to get Kawhi. That's assuming he's healthy, assuming he's in the right mind frame. And maybe they know something we don't. Maybe they know that he isn't. Or they're just playing it safe, as Sam Mamick said. So there is all that. One thing I asked him about, and this came out after the Kawhi news, and the Kawhi news stole the day, obviously. The Kings are in discussions with Nemanja Bjelica, who, oddly enough, was with the T-Wolves last year, agreed to a deal with the Sixers, and then decided, no, I'm going to go play over in Europe. And Vlade got in his ear, I guess, and is trying to convince him to stick around in the NBA, and that playing in the NBA is better for your career, obviously, than playing in Europe. You can go back to Europe later in your career and play there. You don't need to do that now. And look, it's not a huge move, but that was one of my biggest problems with free agency. And we always look at stuff in extremes. Well, they weren't going to get a superstar, so why even try? Well, it doesn't have to be a superstar. Let's add something. Let's go get something. This is a 27-win team. We can't just assume they're going to get better. And let's try and add some pieces. And Nemanja Bjelica, he's a solid player. He plays more of a power forward role, a stretch four, which is what they thought Scal was going to be, and there's a chance he could still be that. But after last year, you know, you can't continue to count on him. You know, you can't. Competition. Competition is good. And so maybe that's what that will be. I have no problem with them trying to bring him in. It'll depend on the money, obviously. They might have to overpay a little bit, but, you know, a little bit isn't bad. It's the Sacramento tax, as we've said. It's a team that has to overpay to get certain people. And overpaying a guy like Bjelica is a small overpay. It's not that big of a deal. He signed for $4 million with Philly, about. So maybe it's 1 year, $6 million, 2 years, $12 million, something like that. That's not bad, especially for the type of player that he is. I like him. He was going to be a solid fit with Philly, and the fact that he decided to leave, and Vlade's trying to work some magic, I guess you could say, to get him to the Kings, right on. I'm for it. Not that it will change the fortunes of their season drastically, but it's something. It's something to try and get this team better, and I like that. So there's that. Some quick Locked on Kings news and some personal news. This is my last day on Locked on Kings. I'm still going to be in the Locked on Podcast Network. I am actually just going to be starting on Locked on Warriors next Monday. If any of you are interested, want some Warriors news, go ahead and check me out there. I got to say, it's been awesome doing Locked on Kings with you guys. I appreciate all of you. Everyone that's ever listened or wanted to interact with me about the Kings, I appreciate it. I love it. I'm still a host at KHTK. I'm still working on every Kings broadcast. Still willing to talk Kings anytime you guys want. So continue to hit me up on Twitter, man. I love talking Kings. I love hoops. So, we can talk any team you want, really. Just because I'm going to Lockdown Warriors doesn't mean it'll only be Warriors content. So again, thank you. It's been a ton of fun. You guys are in good hands with Matt George. He'll be taking over full-time, I believe. Unless he gets another co-host, which I would be heartbroken if he did. Don't do it, Matt. No, I'm just kidding. But Matt's a good dude. He'll take care of you guys. And it's been a ton of fun. And I'll see you around the way. This is the first time I can say I won't be back next Monday. So again, if you want, check me out on Locked on Warriors. Continue to hit me up on Twitter. Always down to talk hoops. Still going to be locked in with the Kings. Just won't be on Locked on Kings. Boom. Thank you guys so much for listening and for listening over the last however many months we've done this. I am Charles T. Hamilton, and I will talk to you later. Peace.
You are Locked on Kings, your daily Sacramento Kings podcast.
Part of the Locked on Podcast Network. Your team every day.